Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome in. Welcome to the show. It's my podcast. It's called Lead Singer Syndrome, and I interview other lead singers from all different genres about what it's like to be the front man or front woman of a band. And in this case, what it's like to be, can I call him a lead bassist? He's a hell of a bass player and also an incredible singer as well. Mr. Skylar Accord, formerly of the band Issues. Some drama went down in 2020 with their singer, Tyler Carter. Some allegations. I won't talk about them on here. You can Google them if you want. Well, the band shut down. They shut things down. But they've announced that they are going to play three final shows in Anaheim, Chicago, and Atlanta. And they're going to have Brian Butcher of the home team fill in for Tyler Carter on these shows. So it's going to be really, really cool. And this is it. This is not a Motley Crue thing where they're like, oh, we're doing one last tour, and then they tour for 10 more years. This is literally it. So if you like Issues music and you want to see it one last time, this is your last chance in January. So, yep, pick up tickets. I don't have the link. Just Google it. You'll find it. But I'm really excited to talk to Skylar. I first met him 10 years ago, actually. And he told me in the podcast that it was his first ever tour when Issues opened for Silverstein. So let me tell you, I know a lot of people. Skylar is the nicest guy in the world, a total sweetheart. And I'm really, really excited to talk to him again and pick his brain and just catch up. I just want to thank him again for taking the time to talk to me. Oh, and also he's in 21 Pilots now. No big deal. Before we get into that, I want to remind you, we have the All Access Club option if you want to support this thing. For a few dollars a month, that gets you in, that gets you some bonus stuff, and you can be a part of a great community of other fans of the show, like-minded people. Head over to leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. That will get you in. And I really do appreciate you checking that out as well. And if you like the show, tell a friend, tell a loved one. Word of mouth is how we spread the word for the show. I don't do advertisements or anything like that. It's just hopefully people stumble upon it. And you can help by reposting, sharing, you know, whatever it is. Oh, you know, literally tell that weird punk rock guy at the office that you like a podcast, and maybe you'll make a new friend. I don't know. Check it out. I appreciate that very, very much. But anyway, let's get into it. This is really informative. My conversation with Skylar Accord of Issues.
Hey, what's good?
Sky, what's up, man? How are you?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Dude, I'm awesome, man. I'm better now that I'm talking to you because it's been way too long.
Dude, yeah, I was just thinking about this, like, because I think I saw you post something about how, you know, this is how the wind shifts, kind of like the track layering kind of thing you guys did.
Yeah, exactly.
I remember you showing me that on your bandwagon in 2013,
crazy.
And it like blew my mind.
Wow. Yeah. That's some, well, right now, and we're jumping in right away, by the way, there's no introductions. We just go, right now, actually we have a day off in Charlotte. We're playing Atlanta tomorrow, which is kind of perfect too. And yeah, this is the 10 year anniversary of that tour that you guys were on. So
it's
crazy. It's been 10 years and we're celebrating that record, and yeah, man, that is so awesome. It's come full circle. It's like a perfect time to talk to you.
Yeah, that's crazy.
So what's new, man? I mean, obviously, we haven't talked in a while. You're doing all kinds of great stuff now, we'll just call it the demise of Issues. But, you know, how are you feeling, man? How's, like, your day-to-day life? Are you feeling, like, good? You got a little pep in your step once again?
Things are really good. I feel like the last few years have just been very tumultuous, I guess.
Oh, yeah.
You know, for everybody in the touring industry, obviously. But, you know, with issues, it was just very, like, I don't know. Just, like, things did not happen good for us for a while. And then 21 Pilots called, and that was awesome. And then just, yeah. like, all these roller coaster things. So now I feel like I'm finally kind of coming to a little bit of a groove, a little more consistency. We're just working on my own stuff, working on, like, music for other people, playing bass for people, just having fun.
Well, that's the bright side of all of it, right? Is like, you know, I've known you for a long time. You know, we just said it's been a decade. And, you know, I know you as just a super nice guy and an extremely talented bass player, you know, first and foremost. But really, like, seeing all this other stuff you've been able to do, especially with your solo work, that's something that, you know, maybe you wouldn't have really had an opportunity to do if, you know, Issues was just firing on all cylinders all these years and putting records out every 2 years and touring all over the world and playing, you know, like 200 shows a year. You know what I mean? Right. It's almost like maybe there's a silver lining there.
Yeah, 100%. And especially when you look at like kind of the history of most of these songs, like most of them were written more or less just as practice because I wanted to write more Issues songs. I just want to get more involved in that. And we just like our creative process is kind of well known for being a nightmare. So I had a lot, I kind of just had a lot of songs that I liked that I wanted to do something with. And that's, and then when Issues kind of like went belly up over the pandemic, it kind of just gave me an opportunity to kind of reimagine these songs and figure out like, okay, so if these are going to represent me, then what do they sound like? How are they going to be arranged? You know?
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, obviously, you know, writing songs, I assume, you know, most of what you'd be focusing on is like, you know, the music, like, you know, right. Probably with a little bit of focus on maybe the rhythm section, because that's, you know, a big part of what you do. But then when you get into, you know, melodies and lyrics and vocal delivery, and then it's like, okay, well, this isn't, you know, Tyler singing on this. This is me. And
right.
I've never done this before, you know, like on any kind of level. At least I don't know about that if you were ever in a band as a singer. But
oh, no.
Never, right? Never?
Correct.
Well, it's pretty fucking impressive, man, that you just walked in and was like, yeah, I'm just going to do this. Because you sound you sound great on those songs.
Thank you, man. Yeah, it's really been like kind of fun getting more into like especially lyrics and stuff, you know, because I guess it's hard, good luck finding a creative who doesn't have like a random notes folder full of just bitty poetry, you know.
Totally,
but
man.
I didn't really get farther beyond that for years and years, but I'd always like, you know, touring with a band like you, for example, because that was genuinely a very formative experience in my life. I guess obviously it was my first tour ever.
Oh, was it really your first tour ever? Wow.
Yes.
Crazy.
And just seeing like I guess how people connect with the lyrical aspect, I guess obviously, you know, now looking back, obviously people love lyrics, but as a bass player, you know, I'm just staring at my fingers for years and years, just trying to be as good as I can, and then I finally mm-hmm. start touring, and then it becomes less about like, oh, read this lead sheet really well for your teacher, or walk basses chord progression or something, and now it's more like about like connecting with a human being and creating culture, if that makes sense.
It totally does, you know, and it's amazing because from the other perspective, like for me being the one immersed in the lyrics and all that, you know, I remember, I forget who it was on tour. Somebody was, you know, I was complaining about, you know, how I was sick and whatever. And he's like, well, you know, you have the hardest job. I was like, I have the hardest job. I just run around and like, you know, scream my head off and whatever and sing and like tell jokes between songs. Like, I don't have the hardest job, but you know, it, I think as a, you know, as an instrumentalist or whatever, when you start to see the other side of it and you're like, damn, writing compelling lyrics, you know, and making this all fit and then having it, you know, like fit with a really great melody and having it be catchy, but not, maybe not like too sugary. It's like, there's all these things you have to do. And that is definitely very difficult.
Oh, absolutely. I feel like, especially to certain artists and certain, I guess wherever you land, right? Certain genres and kind of aesthetics, melodies will work with one thing or won't with another. And I've kind of been just made really aware of it recently because a lot of my sessions that I do now, sometimes by the end of the day, we'll have like a full song, and it'll just be a demo top line, you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. But just for fun, we'll AI it to be like Demi Lovato or Rihanna or something, just to see what it sounds like. And I mean, there's nothing more humbling than hearing Rihanna sing the song that you wrote and then being like, oh, Rihanna would never sing this. This is nowhere near good enough.
How do you do that?
Oh, man. There's a bunch of ways. I think there's this website called La 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 or something.
Yes. I know that. LALAL.AI.
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah, that one. I know that one. That one's awesome because you can remove, like, you can remove either the, you know, like the vocals, or you can remove the music and isolate the vocals, but it does a really good job.
Right. Yeah. And it's, you know, it's to the point where there's still like artifacts and stuff, but you can get the point across, you know, especially if you're writing a pitch for somebody and they're going like, oh, I don't know if I can hear myself on this. It's like, well, now you can.
That's cool. That's really interesting, man. So your home base now, I know that it's, you said this is like, I'm talking to you, it's 3 o'clock on the East Coast. Are you on the West Coast now?
I am on the West Coast.
So where, in, like, California?
Yeah, I'm like outside of LA, like Santa Clarita-ish area.
Nice. And you're like, so the, you got a studio, you're doing session work, you're doing all this different stuff. What's your vibe? Like, you know, obviously when you're not touring with 21 Pilots or doing work for them, which has kind of, I guess, become your main gig, that's kind of what you're doing day to day now?
Yeah, more or less. I mean, I kind of like realized just being here and doing as much sessions as I possibly can. I really like sessions, but it's like a crapshoot. So I do a lot of sessions, but then really like I spend as much time as I can just honestly just working on my own solo stuff because I have a lot in the tank, a lot of plans and whatever. And to be completely real, you know, I want to have music out by the time 21 Pilots calls me again. So there'll be something for someone to look up, you know?
Oh, that's awesome, man. That's awesome. Well, the big announcement yesterday is that, yeah. Well, you announced the shows. You announced the final three farewell issue shows. I'll plug them real quick. January 19th, Anaheim House of Blues. January 20th, Chicago House of Blues. And then the final show, January 27th in Atlanta at the Masquerade. But the big news is that you're having Brian Butcher of the Home Team sing for you.
Yeah, that's right.
Wow. Oh, yeah. That's, I mean, it's not an easy role, but that guy's incredible. Was it a pretty easy decision, or was, like, how did this all come about?
Right. Okay. So, I actually, man, I've known the Home Team for a really, really long time because they're Seattle and I'm from Seattle originally.
Okay.
And actually, like, I think, Let me try to remember this. So the first time I met the guitar player, I was in high school and I tried out for his death metal band and I didn't make it. He says he saved my life by not letting me in his stupid band. But right. So I've known them for a really long time. And over the pandemic, they just started sending me music because they started working on their new album. And at that point, they were just kind of like, straight down the middle. They were a good pop punk band, but they were very, you know, very pop punk.
Yeah.
They were sending me stuff. I had a lot of ideas and it ended up developing into me going out and producing that record. And that's how I got to know all of them. And that's how I got to know Brian in the studio. And he was just, you know, just an insane singer. I could tell he was just a really hard worker and like focused on like the right things and all that stuff. So when they started touring more and like kind of blowing up, I wasn't surprised.
For sure.
But I actually just got off of a tour with them and Don Broco. It was my first tour under my solo music. And yeah. every night he sounded fucking phenomenal. So we were still trying to figure that out. You know, it was really late in the game. And also playing every night, I noticed like a shit ton of crossover between Issues fans and Home Team fans. And if you listen to the Home Team's like heavy shit with like R&B vocals. It just makes so much sense. So yeah, I just straight up asked him and he was down.
That's cool, yeah, because the initial announcement, you know, with you, AJ, and Josh, you know, in the photo, and just how your vocal prowess has been kind of showed off over the past, you know, a little over a year, I guess, I figured maybe you were going to do the clean vocals.
Right, so that had been a conversation, but really what it boils down to is two things. Selfishly, I just really like playing bass. I don't really have any interest in being the issue singer, if that makes sense.
Yep.
And then also my range, you know, like I have a lot more headroom down here than and up here, you know, so a lot of the stuff I just wouldn't be able to hit. But that's not to say, and I've been given permission to tease this, that's not to say that there won't be a Sky vocal debut at some point.
Okay. I like this. Yeah, man. No, obviously, yeah. You and Tyler could not be, you know, different singers in your approach. But I did wonder when I saw that. You know, I also imagine playing those songs on bass and singing at the same time would be a whole nother can of worms too.
Right. You know what though? I'm kind of a glutton for punishment. Because when we lost our screamer Michael. Me and AJ, our guitar player, we already had to kind of like learn how to sing and play this stuff because we had to scream all of his parts. So, I mean, I'm like, you know, a situation like that, I would be down. It would just be a lot of work.
Right. So, Michael, not in the announcement. You and AJ will be taking over the unclean vocal duties again. Was there any thought to bringing back Michael for these shows, or are you guys just so far out of touch? Because obviously he's not in the band, been in the band for like 5 years.
Right. Yeah. So yes and no. I mean, we just kind of were in a flow when it was just me and AJ doing the streams. We kind of like, I don't know, like we, you know, fans have been commenting like, obviously just incessantly like bring back Michael. And basically as far as it's gone at this point is me texting Michael about like memories and stuff. So I'm not going to say nothing will happen.
I see.
We haven't talked about it yet really, if that makes sense, but we were definitely cool. Like we're like, you know, talking again. So,
well, that's great though. I appreciate the honesty in that answer, you know, because I just imagine with the way it all shook out, I mean, when you call your band Issues, what do you expect to happen, I guess, right?
Right.
But, no, I mean, it's been such a wild ride. But I just imagine, you know, like, when all the stuff came out about Tyler and you guys had to, you know, make that decision and figure it out, it's just so heartbreaking, you know, that you had to go through that. And now to kind of try to put the pieces back together kind of for one last time for your fans, there's a lot to it, right? It isn't just as easy as saying, okay, we're just going to put these shows on sale. Like you got a lot of things to figure out.
Yeah, 100%. Like a lot of parts of, I don't know, it, like a big part of why we even decided to put it to bed too. And part of the reason why we decided to just at least, you know, for the core of the band, be us three. It's just how much trauma and baggage there is associated with Issues. And like, I love the band. I love the music. And I love, you know, like I miss the times, lots of good times. But I feel like anything that's that volatile, and you're listening to the music, you can kind of just hear how many arguments we have, right? Like over like this little part or that little part. Cause you know, sometimes the shit's all over the place. And that's what I love about it.
Right.
But anything that's that volatile, where, you know, we're all coming from such different backgrounds. And this is, you know, in, I guess like with love volatile, right? It's got to have like a shelf life. Like you don't want to hear Rage Against the Machine put out new music in 2023. You know what I mean?
Yes, I know what you mean. I do know what you mean. I mean, you know, I always feel like it's like I don't want to hear Rage Against the Machine put out bad music in 2023.
Right.
But I know that like your perception of what's good and bad when it comes to a band that you've been listening to for in Rage Against the Machine's case for me, like literally 30 years. You know, I understand that. But that is that is interesting, you know. And I did think maybe it was going to be like, okay, well, you know, a lot of bands in the Rise Records world had changed singers, you know, a lot, like Tyler was in a band before that got a new singer, and you know, like it almost seemed like that was going to be something that you guys were maybe going to try to do, but it sounds like you just were kind of at your wit's end and you just couldn't go down that road.
Yeah, I mean, we had a lot of plans, honestly. And a lot of the fans who are really connected know about this stuff, and they were asking me about it. Like, what happened to this or that you're going to do? We had a lot of plans to do, like, a whole album with different singers on every song. Not too different from what Polyphia was doing. Yeah. And we got pretty far down the line on that. You know, there's songs with, like, Find the Vocals and stuff track, and, like, you know, stuff that's, like, it sounds pretty good. But, It really came down to just like us three running a business more than like being an artistic entity. Because working together, like, well, I don't see a future where we stop working together in some capacity.
Right.
But this being like our job and issues being like basically such a gargantuan time investment just became very obviously like this isn't going to happen. And one thing Issues is really good at is wasting other people's time, and I wanted to stop that.
Well, yeah, so, I mean, all these songs you did, like, getting other vocals, I mean, you must have had some pretty notable names, too. Hopefully, these songs will see the light of day in some way, shape, or form?
Yeah, well, I mean, okay, so we're kind of a split decision on this. You know, because I was doing the lion's share of the new stuff, and, you know, I'm really close to it, so I want it to come out. But, you know, there's an argument to be said that, you know, nothing's finished. It's not, nothing's, like, ready to like, get released or anything right now. So there's still, like, a lot of steps that we'd have to take that, and those steps would have, those are the difficult parts, basically. So there's a chance. I'm never going to say never, but I would say, like, very unlikely, unfortunately. But I mean, the song, you know, the songs are there. So it's like, God, like, it hurts having good shit on a Dropbox. You know what I mean?
Totally, dude. Totally.
That's... like burning a hole in my pocket.
Yeah. Wow, dude. Wow. Well, I mean, I'm really happy to see you guys kind of like taking this to the finish line and putting us to bed and giving your fans some closure too, I guess. It's really, really, really great. So why did you choose Anaheim, Chicago, and Atlanta? I'm sure there's some people on the East Coast probably not very happy with you.
Yes, I know. So, right. So again, it just came down to like what felt like the most final. And we didn't have a whole lot of time to make this happen just because of our day jobs, basically. Like Josh plays for Kane Brown and Bill Murray. And with the 21 Pilots stuff, and now AJ playing for Bad Wolves. And none of us knowing anything about our schedules next year, we're just like, how do we make these shows happen or some shows happen and put a bow in it without risking like getting called into action by our like day jobs, basically.
Gotcha. Yeah.
Oh, sorry, guys. 21 Pilots needs me to play. Blah, 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 blah. You know, they're like, I don't know. That would have got messy. So we only had January to do this. So a full tour was kind of impossible. Initially, they were going to be in February and we had to move them. Just because to be more safe, I guess.
Yeah. Well, there's not a ton of lead time, I guess. Right. Because you don't know. Usually these kind of stuff, you'd be like, oh, you know, you'd announce it like 4 or 5 months earlier, maybe. And in this case, it was just what, 3 or
yeah,
something like that. Like, so that makes sense. Yeah. I mean, that's awesome though. I mean, it's great to see that the three of you guys have come out, you know, of this, you know, probably in a better place, you know, in your careers. That's really, really great.
Yeah, and, you know, to kind of compare it to Rage again, you know, when they lost Zach De La Roca, they didn't stop working together. They were still doing, like, Audio Slave and Prophets of Rage and, you know, bass players doing Walk Rat and stuff. So everybody's still working. Everybody's doing stuff. And it just looks different. I feel like that's probably not too different from what we're going to do. I don't think we're going to be, like, in a band together anytime soon. That might happen. There's just no plans for it, but you know, it's like me and Josh work together all the time. AJ's working on some crazy solo shit that I keep bugging him to finish. So I feel like, you know, if people want to pay attention to the sort of issues, I guess, collective, I guess I'll call it, there's plenty of shit going on, plenty of music coming out. It's just going to not look the same.
I love it. I love it, man. And back to your solo work. So we had a debut EP come out. This thing is awesome. Everybody needs to check it out if they haven't already. Is it Vidorian?
Viridian.
Viridian. You know what? My fucking autocorrect got me again.
Dude, Vidorian? Hard. What is, I'm Googling Vidorian.
I don't know. I don't even think it's a real word. I don't know what happened. Vidorian.
You know what that sounds like? That sounds like a black metal pseudonym.
It does, or some Game of Thrones shit or something. I don't know. but you have a recent single with Jenna of Tonight Alive, who I know you toured with Tonight Alive back in the day, and obviously she's got her new solo project, Heaven She, as well. How was that? How did that come about, you know, getting her on that track?
Yeah, so White Lace, which is the song, that I wrote in, like, 2016 or something, you know, trying to get it on an Issues album. It literally, or not even that, you know, because we all split publishing equally and stuff, just because it would have been, you know, a nightmare to try to figure that out later. But I just wrote it just to practice and, like, maybe, like, try to write an Issues song, and just sat on my Dropbox for years. But even then, I was thinking, like, man, the second verse is kind of dying for, like, one of those old school 80s, like, romantic duet ballad things.
Yeah.
You know, guy sings and girl sings and they sing, that whole thing. And even then I was imagining Jenna, just because Jenna's voice, I feel like, it, you know, people know she can sing and she obviously sounds good, but I still feel like she's underrated. Especially like her versatility and just like tone and everything. And selfishly, just as a fan of her voice, I wanted to hear her on it. I just felt like it'd be cool. So I just kind of like kept that in my, you know, the back of my head for forever. And randomly this year, she was out here in LA, I think doing some Heaven She stuff. And just, I don't know, she ran into a friend and my friend was like, hey, you know, Jenna, she's at this party. I'm like, oh, let me hit her up right now. So, you know, she's from Australia, so she doesn't come out here much.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she just came over to my crib, and we did it in my room. You know, I do have a studio, but by studio, I mean, like, guest room with, like, a bunch of synths in it. So it was pretty, like, casual. But it was sick. It came together really quick. We wrote the second verse together and the pre and everything, and then, like, I just kind of followed her lead when I tracked it after she left.
I totally – and, yeah, that's awesome. It's a great tune. And I totally know what you mean about Jenna. And she's a huge, you know – huge friend of the podcast. She's been on here a couple times, and you know, it's like, I think maybe with her voice, when she's singing over like distorted electric guitars, you don't hear like the soul in her voice as much as you do, you know, when it's over like maybe your music that's like a little more synth driven, you know, or even some of her newer stuff like that she's doing with Heaven She. It just, something about it kind of just sings a little more, maybe that's not the right word, resonates in a different way, you know, than when it's like pop punk, like, you know, doo-doo pa drums and like just, you know, cranked up Mesa Boogie, you know, distortion. You know what I mean?
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, I feel like that's why I like Heaven She so much, I think, is because it's more of a focus on her. Like, Tonight Alive was a good band, and the band was cool. But hearing like her in a, I guess in a sort of scenario where you can really just like focus on her, I don't know. It's just fun for me, you know. It's fun for me because I'm a fan, like a genuine fan.
I love it, man. I love it. So yeah, well, dude, congrats on everything. What's it like with 21 Pilots? I gotta ask, just, you know, I just picture you as just like this guy. You know, you've done some, you know, mid-level touring, let's call it, you know, and then all of a sudden you're joining a band where it's like arenas minimum, you know, like first of all, how did you get the call for that? Like, how did they hear about you? Did you audition? How did that work out? And then have there been any like funny, like, oh shit, this is a big deal moments?
Oh yeah, there's been a few of those. yeah, I guess okay. So to how I got the call, I haven't gotten the like full story, but what I've been putting together is we played like Issues did the APMAs, like the first one. When was that? 2014 or something? 13?
I think it was 2014. Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, right. Yeah, so at around 2014, Issues and 21 Pilots weren't that different in size. And 21 Pilots played or performed at the APMAs, and Michael, our screamer, was a big fan of them. He was early. And he hit them up and was like, hey, like, it's a war show. Let me do the song with you. So they, like, perform together.
Right.
And I think that's just, like, how Tyler Joseph became aware of the band. And I guess he, like, made a mental note of me or something. And like, oh, if we ever need a bass player again, then maybe I'll call that guy. And then really that simple, I guess, like, 7 years later, however long, you know, they were like, this album feels like it needs a band to back it. So let me call that guy. He literally cold called me. I'd never met him. He got my number from, like, I don't know, like a friend of a friend or something. And I was in, like, a Target, and I get this call from, like, their manager. And I'm like, this is a scam. So,
right.
You know, I'm, like, Googling his name, this guy's name. And I found some interview where it was basically him, and it was, like, the same voice. I'm like, okay, so this sounds like not a scam. And then at that point, I'm thinking, oh, maybe he's just, like, he manages some, like, new band that needs, like, a bass player or something. And then he calls me the next day. He's like, hey, so, yeah, 21 Pilots, are you down? And I'm like, yeah, maybe I could check. Let me check my schedule.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Yeah.
Crazy, like, crazy to happen, too, like, probably, I mean, shit, that was maybe 6 weeks or less after we fired Tyler Carter. So I was, like, I don't know, quite a roller coaster.
Wow. But that's just the way life seems to work, isn't it? You know, one door closes and another door opens. You know, it's like, it's a beautiful thing. And I think, like, knowing you, Skylar, for as long as I have, like, you're such a good dude, and everyone likes you. You know, you're one of those people just, like, everyone's like, I fucking love that guy. That guy's the best. Nicest guy ever. You know, like, word gets around. And, like, it's very possible that you know, your name came across their desk kind of in a negative way, because it was like, oh shit, all these allegations about the singer. But they're like, you know what? Maybe we can get that guy in the band now. You know what I mean? Like and you know, maybe it kind of worked out in a weird way, right?
Actually, you know what's even crazier? Because I kind of asked about that. I was like, did you, like, hit me up because you saw we fired a singer and we weren't doing anything or whatever? They had no idea.
Okay, never mind then.
I told them, like, after our first couple shows, because someone asked, like, so what's Issues doing now?
Oh, man.
So it's just totally just the universe, man. Just chance, I guess.
Yeah, so, okay, so being in a band, like, that big, like, obviously I know, you know, you're a session guy, I guess, like, you know, but you're on stage, you're playing the songs, like, you know, you're in the band.
Right.
You know, like, how do you guys roll? I like, how many buses you guys take out? Like, you must stay in real nice hotels. You must fly on really nice airplanes. Like, how's all that? How's that all work?
Yeah, it definitely gives me, like, a tax bracket whiplash, like, hanging out with them and then going back to my house.
That's like, funny.
Yeah, I always joke too, because, you know, we're always in, like, fancy hotels and stuff, and I'm like, man, I miss the La Quinta down the road. So, eventually my wife got me a La Quinta shirt for Christmas, so every time we're in, like, some fancy hotel where I'm, you know, because we have to, yeah, every time they put us up in one of these, of course I'm looking it up on Google Maps, going, like, how much did they pay for this fucking room, you know? And I'm walking in my La Quinta shirt, just, like, not giving a fuck.
I love that. Yeah, La Quinta, I think La Quinta in Spanish means behind Waffle House.
That's probably right.
No, man. No, but that's great, though. I mean, that's really cool. But, yeah, was there ever a story? Can you remember a story when, like, I don't know, something happened when you were like, oh, like, I'm in a big band. Like, we don't worry about these, like, little things, you know? Like,
dude, totally. Yeah, this is just a completely different mindset. I mean, as far as, like, the holy shit moments, like, there's been a couple of those. One is playing Climate Pledge Arena in Seattle, which is where I'm from.
Oh, yeah.
Which, really, for the initiated, for the OGs, that's Key Arena, but whatever, Climate Pledge Arena, it's fine.
Sure.
And my mom used to sing the national anthem for Sonics games all the time. She was just, like, in the rotation.
Oh, cool.
So I have all these, like, kind of memories of, you know, them hitting her up, like, the night before, going, like, oh, we got a cancellation, can you come in, or whatever. Then I'm, like, backstage. I don't know what you even call it at a basketball game.
Yeah, I know.
But, you know, I'm just like a kid, just like back there, like watching my mom sing and like just basketball players and everything. And those memories are just really buried deep in my psyche. And then going to that same venue and playing it and being on stage, it was pretty insane. The only time I've ever actually wept on stage was that show. Yeah, I was like, I can't
believe
it.
That's awesome. Yeah, we didn't really get into your background at all. In this conversation, but yeah, I guess you come from a pretty, you know, musical family if your mom was a super, super talented singer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I feel like all our voices, everybody in my family, we just have like kind of like a resonance because we grew up just yelling at each other over that across the house, like, hey, finish it, you know, whatever. So like, I guess, you know, just talking to my mom and growing up with her, I probably know how to use my diaphragm a little bit, I guess.
There you go. And are like, what's happening? Are the Sonics coming back? Why does Seattle not have a basketball team anymore? It's terrible.
Okay, so I know some rumors.
Oh yeah.
I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I heard that the Sonics were most likely coming back with the announcement of some. I don't follow like sports like that, but there's some new ESPN TV package or something. And they're adding two expansion teams. One of them, people already know. I can't remember what it is. It might be Vegas or something. And the other one is very, very, it's a very solid rumor, a very confident rumor that it's the Sonics. So whenever that happens.
Yeah. Well, I mean, it makes sense, right? Because they got the hockey team, you know, and, you know, they've got a building. So, yeah. And it was weird how Seattle lost the Sonics. Remember, they had Durant for, like, one season? Yeah, it's crazy.
Yeah.
It was crazy.
Still
yeah, people forget Kevin Durant started as a Supersonic. So
mm-hmm.
There you go, man.
Yeah, Oklahoma City Thunder, man. They stole our Thunder. I'll never forget it.
Big time. Big time. It was bizarre. The whole thing was so bizarre. But anyway, man. Well, dude, thank you so much for taking the time to chat with me today. Good luck with the Issues shows with Brian. That's going to be a lot of fun. I would mm-hmm. love to catch your Anaheim show. I'm actually out in Vegas now, so I might hit you up and see if I can sneak me in the back door.
Oh, easy, dude. If you've ever had my number, it's the same number. So
beautiful. I got your number. Yeah, man, awesome. Well, that's incredible. And your solo stuff. Can we expect another release in 2024 or something like that?
Oh, absolutely. So I have this whole gimmick, right? So the first EP, True Viridian, the second EP that I basically am done with, I just have to like finish, you know, whatever. True Vanity. So we're gonna start getting True Vanity stuff released all throughout next year. And then there's a third one that's like a little farther out, but definitely a lot of music next year.
Cool.
And
there's a plan. There's a plan, kids. Listen up.
Right. And okay, I have a question. When or how, what time frame would you be uploading this podcast, our conversation?
It won't be for a little while. It'll be before, I'll have it out before the shows, the Issues shows, but it probably won't be for like at least 2 or 3 weeks.
Okay. So yeah, all I'm going to say as far as new music too is, yeah, watch the Issues space too. That's all I'll say.
Ooh, all right. Well, I'm excited, man. I'm really excited. Dude, awesome. Well, anything else to tell the people before I let you go?
All I'll say is tap in. We, all three of us, me, AJ, and Josh, are just working on a lot of cool shit. And, yeah, get in early. That's all I'll say.
I love it. Sky, my guy, thanks so much, man. 10 years. It's incredible. What a time to be talking to you. I love it so much. Keep in touch.
I'm gonna put that record.
Yeah, check it out, man. And if you're around LA, we're gonna be there in like a couple weeks. We're on our way that way, so let me know if you want to come out.
Oh, absolutely, man. I'll definitely be in. Yeah.
All right, dude. Amazing. Amazing. Well, all the best, man. And yeah, enjoy the rest of your day.
Thank you, man. You too. Have a good show.
So there it is with Mr. Skylar Accord of Issues. Formerly of Issues? Well, yes, formerly of Issues, but three final shows coming up January 19th in Anaheim, January 20th in Chicago, and January 27th in Atlanta. Yeah, you're going to want to see this with Brian from the home team. Another guy I should get on this podcast, huh? Amazing. Amazing stuff. And what a talented guy and what a nice guy. And it's great to see him land on his feet here after the demise of the band with 21 Pilots and some amazing solo work. Make sure you check out all of that as well. Thank you so much for listening. And if you like this, go back and check out some other, you know, back episodes we have, because there's like literally hundreds of them. Anyway, I will leave you with a tune. Here is a great song from Skylar's solo material. It's called White Lace on Lead Singer Syndrome. Peace and love. See you next time.
When you fought it out, did you fight with me in mind? And could you live without that love you sacrificed? Now don't you lie. I wanna be who you think about when you're with someone else who can't turn you back like I know how. And if you turn around to the next, keep me in mind. Will you try? Just the